sermon, I just want to say how much I love our sound guys. One of them walked up to me, though, and said, "Hey, preacher," he said, not to mention any names, but he said it was Danny Lambert. He said, "Danny Lambert said, 'Here, preacher, keep it short,' and he handed me a Reese's peanut butter cup." Pray for them. I've always said they don't have anything salvation can't cure, amen? So, but I am going to stick that. No, I can't put it there. It'll melt. I'm going to put it right here. But after invitation, Brother Bill, remind me that that's there. Because we have some thieves around here when it comes to Reese cups. I'm just telling you. Open your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We started a series last Sunday morning on simply entitled Growing Forward will be our series. And we're going to kind of course, preach through a little bit here of 1 Peter. We'll see how far we get. Or 2 Peter, excuse me. But in the context of growing forward, these first nine verses really center around basic fundamental truths of the Christian life. So we're entitling it Christianity 101. And when you look at this portion of Scripture, I love this book of the Bible. I love this chapter in the Word of God, because really what Peter does, the Apostle Peter does, is he shares to us vital truths as a believer. You know, the Christian life, as we looked at last Sunday morning, it commences with faith, meaning the moment a person repents of their sin and places their faith and trust in Christ and gets born again, that begins your journey. May I also say, it was never God's intention just to begin you, if you will. I can use that properly. It was never God's intention just to save you and leave you just saved. Now, of course, when we think of just being saved, I mean, that encompasses a lot. We know that we're going to heaven when we die. If you're born again, can I get a witness in the building? And as a result of that, though, here's what you need to understand. For me, I was saved in 1988. And that journey, from that moment on, that began my Christian journey. That began my walk with God. Not before. It's not before salvation. Oftentimes, I'll talk to people, and I love talking to people. And you'll be surprised some of the things that people will say. I've often asked people, "Hey, do you know God is your Savior?" And many times, are you a Christian? I quit asking that question, but because often everybody answers yes, they are. But when I've asked, "Hey, are you a Christian?" I've had people say, "Yes, I am." And then I'll ask them often, I used to follow it up like this: Well, when did you become a Christian?" And often I've had this response. They would say something like this: "My whole life." The only problem with that is this: on the authority of the Bible, that's not possible. It's not possible. Because the Bible speaks of we're sinners before God, and because we're born that way, and because we're sinners before God, we have to be forgiven of our sin. And when you are forgiven of your sin, that means you have been born again. So you're not a Christian your whole life. You're only a Christian or a born-again believer if you have repented and trusted in Jesus as your Savior through the gospel message, His death, His burial, His resurrection. So my encouragement at the beginning this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, I mean this. We as a congregation, we would pray and hope that you do that before you leave this service today. Was so blessed this past Wednesday night with James trusting Jesus as his Savior. How many of you were here Wednesday night? There was a handful of us here. Well, actually, there was 170 of us here all throughout the buildings, to which I was grateful to God for with the Awana program and stuff. But about 48 of us, I think, was in the sanctuary for the services there. But to witness him trust Jesus as his Savior, man, that's awesome. It doesn't get any better than that, right? And oh, my goodness, this is going to be a long day, I'm telling you. I'm going to preach 2 hours. No, you got to participate here. So it commences with faith. And that's what Peter says. And I've given you a rather lengthy. So stand with me, please, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Three words that we deal with in the context of Christianity 101. My mic keeps dropping out for some reason, guys. I don't know. Give me maybe a little monitor or something. But 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge, there that word is again, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, Peter says, add to your faith. Salvation begins, that journey, that born-again journey begins, as I've said, when a person repents and places their faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen? Christ, it's not Christ plus anything. It's not Christ minus anything. It is Christ and Christ alone. So once you put your faith in Jesus, he saves you. But Peter then says, but now, right now, and beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. It's important that we grow. It's God's will. Please hear this. It is God's will that every believer grow in their walk with him and grow in the context of 2 Peter in our knowledge, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter says, add to your faith, and he lists several things. Virtue, and to virtue knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things, look at verse 8. Are you looking at verse 8? All right, look at verse 8. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and sadly hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask, God, that you will bless the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, Father, be our teacher. May he be our guide. And Lord, may you increase our knowledge of what you did and who you are in our lives. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. We shared with you earlier on in this study that, again, the Christian journey, Christianity 101, just basic building blocks of the Christian faith, it commences with our faith. Three words that we will look at in the study of this chapter. The word faith, we'll look at that. We'll look at the word growth. And then we'll look at the word results. Faith, growth, and results. Or you could actually say the word fruit. The Christian journey commences with our faith. It continues with growth. Its completion will be practical results or fruit of the life of a believer. Let me also say this. It's God's will for you to grow, but it is also God's will for God to use you to further his kingdom. God wants to use you and I to further his kingdom. He wants to use your life and my life to make a difference for his honor and glory. I had something pretty awesome happen to me this week. We cleaned out the garage. It's been a month back or so. And one of the things that I found was I found in a box there 14 or 15 rolls of 35 millimeter camera film that we used to take pictures with. We used those, remember those little cameras? We used to take it. And one of the dates on one of the rolls was 1996. So it's been a while. You say, why didn't you get them developed back then? Because we were broke. That's why. We had kids and they were eating us out of house and home and diapers. You know, here's what's bad. When you feed them, you need a diaper. I'll just leave it at that. I won't get any more gross than that. And I'll be honest with you, things like that should not come out of something so beautiful. I'm just telling you. Leave it there. Too much information. So let me give you a plug for Sam's in Novi. You say he took them all the way to Novi. Well, because Walgreens wanted $14 a roll and then got them down to $10 a roll. He said, they'll actually bargain with you. Yeah, they will. Especially when you tell them you're preaching. No, I didn't tell them that. But the $10, I'll make a long story short. But that was going to be $140, $150. I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to spend that much to find out what's on these, you know. So got them developed, cost us $45. Woohoo, cost $45. But here's what, here you say, why are you telling us that story? Here's why I'm telling you that story. God wants to use you. And if you'll be willing and surrendered and yield, is a good Bible word, will yield yourself to God's will for your life, he'll use you in a mighty way. Got these pictures, 300 or 400 of them. There was pictures of some of you here when you were 14 years younger. Yeah. Mark Walczak, he's a little, Peter Moon, we got pictures of Peter. Where's Peter? Got pictures of you little bitty thing. Bianca. Bianca's been Toby's girlfriend since she was 2 years old. I better leave that alone. I'll get in big trouble. We believe in arranged marriages out here, right? But if anybody gets my sons, we get a dowry. I'm just telling you. Cattle, horses, we'll take it. But anyway. So start going back through these pictures. And one of the pictures, and I didn't realize it was on there, but one of the pictures was from probably 7, 8 years ago. And it was the day, how many of you remember the story of my friend Jamie Gentry, my childhood friend Jamie Gentry? Me and him were buddies, and not to bore you with a long story, but we were buddies, and we used to play music together. Before I got saved, I played music, and I'm not proud of it, played in bars and things like that as a 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid. But Jamie was my childhood friend. We grew up together as little children, rode the bus together. Jamie and his family owned the local tavern, the Claryville Inn. You know the story, not to bore you, but just stay engaged with me just for a moment because I'm going somewhere with this. I got saved when I was 16. The first, I think I'm correct in saying this, the first three people I witnessed to were my childhood friends, Jamie Gentry, Christian Nichols, and Jack. I forget what Jack's last name was. But those three guys on the basketball court of Christian's home, of Christian's yard there. I remember Jamie saying to me, now I remind you, Jamie and his family, they were devout Catholics. They were raised Catholic. Practicing Catholic, had been for generations. And I witnessed to Jamie, or witnessed to these three boys, and I remember Jamie, like it was yesterday, I remember him saying this to me. And I said, Jamie, I said, fellas, I said, the Bible says you're a sinner. Jamie said, I've never killed anybody. I said, Tracy, you're telling me I'm a sinner. I've never killed anyone. I've never stolen. I've never lied. I'm thinking, you're lying right there, but I couldn't get him to realize that. But never told a lie. But my point was this. So I shared the gospel with him the best I knew how. Well, simply, I believe that Jesus has saved me, man. He'd born me again, and if he would do that for me, he would do that for anybody. And he would do that for my buddies if they would repent and trust him as Savior. Well, as you can imagine, none of them got saved that day. Jamie was on my prayer list for 13 years. To be honest, we had lost touch. I'd moved to Michigan some 20 years ago, 21 years ago. We had lost touch as friends, and I knew Jamie was still playing music. He got pretty successful, got really successful, as a matter of fact. He and another friend of mine, Brian, they made it. Brian made it in Nashville. He's a successful songwriter, one of the guys in one of our bands. But a lot of time had transpired. I get emotional when I think of this story. Jeff Fain was coming up to one of our teen conferences 7 or 8 years ago. They were coming up to one of our teen conferences, and he had told me, he says, hey, we're bringing some more people with us. I saw them. I was at the house, and I saw their van pull in. And I walked up to the van, but before I could get there, my childhood friend, Jamie Gentry, got off of that church van, the Baptist church van, and walked around, and he saw me. And he hugged me. He bear hugged me, and he smiled. He said, Tracy, he said, I gave my life to Christ a few years ago. Amen. And why I'm so grateful for those pictures, it might have been my wife. She took a picture of that embrace. God wants to use you. to make a difference for his kingdom. Am I saying that to brag on myself? If you know me at all, you know I'm not saying that for that reason. I'm saying that God wants to use you to make a difference for his kingdom and for his glory. Question, will there be people in heaven because of your witness? Will there be people in heaven because of your testimony? You see how God does the saving. Yes, we agree doctrinally, theologically, we agree with that. But I also understand that God uses human instruments to get his gospel out. You say, where's Jamie now? You won't believe it. He's pastoring a Baptist church. Jamie, about a year ago, me and him met and talked. Been pastoring a church for quite a few years now. His mom, that Jamie owned a restaurant, his mom and dad were working the restaurant, and she's a soul winner. Oh, but did I tell you that Jamie's mom and dad also got born again? Did I tell you that Jamie's sister trusted Jesus as her Savior? Oh, did I tell you they no longer own the Clarryville Inn Saloon? Why? Because Jesus changed their life. And that saloon was a representative of their old life that God saved them out of. And they got rid of that. Terry, his mother, started being a soul-winning machine, man, there in that restaurant. She led dozens of people to faith in Christ that are now a member of their church there in Independence, Kentucky. You say, preacher, why are you telling us that story? The only way God can use you is to grow you in your faith. Is to grow you in your journey. And when we dig into this, that was a rather lengthy story. But when we dig into this, oh, by the way, Jamie Gentry, listen to this one. He's been pastoring, planted the church, which is amazing. He said to me, in that annex building, he was giving his testimony to the teenagers at the conference. We were just talking, and it opened up and he shared it. And this really is convicting to me. He said there that night, he said, you need to understand. He said, the only Christian that I had ever met in my life was Tracy. He said, I was a Catholic. He said, I was a devout Catholic. He said, I thought we're going to heaven. It's a works thing, and we're going to go to heaven working our way there if our good outweighs our bad. And with him weeping like a child, weeping like a baby, he hugged me and he said, thank you. Thank you for sharing Christ with me as a 15-year-old kid. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? All I can say is this. To God be the glory. Great things he had done. To know that the Lord Jesus can use us. Wow. What an amazing story. The Lord longs to use you. He'll use you anywhere, man. He'll use you at a restaurant. We was talking to the waitress the other day. She said, you're telling a lot of stories today. That's okay. I talked to the pastor. It's perfectly fine. We was talking to a waitress the other day, inviting her to church. She said, where were you? Give you one guess. Papa Vino's. I crashed off of the diet plan. But anyway, it's only about 4,000 calories for that one meal. But anyway. But we're talking to one of the waitresses, and it was Leslie, wasn't it? Leslie, I think, was one of the girls we was talking to one day. And we invited her to our church. She goes, yeah, as a matter of fact. And then she said this. She said, Matt, she goes, as a matter of fact, she goes, I know where your church is because Matt, the manager, told me about your church. We're just trying to be a witness. We're just trying to share Jesus everywhere we go. That's why with my heart before my Lord Jesus, please hear me. When you go to a restaurant, do not tip. Here's how you should tip. You should tip based on your relationship with Jesus, not the service that they give you. Well, I disagree with you. Well, the question is, do you want to make an impact for Christ? Or do you want to be rude? I know, because I'm in a lot of restaurants, I talk to a lot of managers. Become friends with some of them. Oftentimes, they don't like when churches have church parties in their restaurants. You know why? Because we don't tip right. If there's anybody that ought to be a godly example and tip well, if not better than the lost and dying world, it ought to be God's people. Well, I tip on service. You'll never impact the kingdom of God in a restaurant. if you do that. Where was I? I have no idea. Oh, by the way, Jamie, last year's talking to him. Guess what he's done now, Brother Kevin? He surrendered his life to the mission field to go to the Middle East to take the gospel to a region of the world that if they find out that he's a Baptist preacher, Baptist missionary, they will imprison him, if not put him to death in a Muslim country. Wow. What an amazing story. Why? Because it has God all over it. My journey was a journey of faith that began when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I was a redneck kid, man, from Claryville, Kentucky. My pastor's wife said she didn't think God would ever, honestly, truly, she didn't think God would ever get me out of Claryville, Kentucky. I thought I was going to marry a girl with four teeth, man. When you marry a Yankee, they got a good set of teeth. But God is amazing God. It's an amazing story. It's a journey that begins by faith. I've got to give you some thoughts, I've got to give you some thoughts here. Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I love that. Like precious faith. The same kind of, genuine, authentic. Those who have obtained. It's a gift. Peter's emphasizing that salvation was not attained by personal effort, skill, or worthiness, but purely came from God's grace. Precious faith. That statement was used to designate equal in rank, position, honor, standing, price, or value. It was used of the ancient world with strangers and foreigners who were given equal citizenship in a city. Peter was emphasizing that Christians have all received the same precious, priceless, saving faith. Here's a thought for you. The same saving faith that Peter had is the same saving faith that you and I have if we're born again. And it's the same. Here's an amazing thing. Even though God had called him to be an apostle, which was a distinct position, and there are no apostles today by biblical definition, but even though Peter had a distinct title and call of God on his life as apostle, he was still a born-again believer. And here's a thought for you. His standing in Jesus was the same as my standing or your standing if you're born again in Jesus Christ. It's the same standing. And God the Father, because of the blood of Jesus applied to Peter's life, he saw Peter, according to Colossians chapter 1, as holy and without blemish in his sight. But here's the great news. If you're born again, God the Father sees you the same way. Let that get a hold of you, man. That'll make you shout, brother, if you get a hold of something like that. To get a hold of the fact that when I look in the mirror, I don't see that. But I'm grateful to God. It's not about what I see. It's about what he sees in my life. To God be the glory. So much in this. But I got to get somewhere. Look at the next thoughts. So it commences with faith. But secondly, it continues with growth. You said, Preacher, that was a lengthy introduction. So buckle your seatbelt because we're going to get there fast. Look what else he says. It continues with growth. Let me give you a couple thoughts under this. Notice, first of all, letter A, the enablement of growth. of growth. The Bible tells us, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The enablement of growth. Definition of enablement simply means any approach which provides means or opportunity. So any approach that provides means or opportunity. So here's what God is teaching us in this passage. He's because of the like precious faith that we have in Christ in verse 1, we now have the enablement to grow as a believer in Jesus. It's God's will for you to grow. You saw a preacher, I don't need a church. I don't need a church to worship my Lord. Well, let me just help you with this. A church is very vital in your spiritual journey and spiritual growth. Matter of fact, you study your Bible. If you're a student of the Word of God, You study your Bible and you look at the emphasis and the times the word church is mentioned in the New Testament. The vast majority are always dealing with a specific local assembly of baptized body of believers. It's important. It's crucial. You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't need a church." Well, I've often said, years ago, I may remember making this statement. Being a born-again Christian without a church home is like saying you're a quarterback without a football team. I'm a quarterback. Well, what's your team? I don't need a team. Woo! I don't need a team. I'm a quarterback. You're a knucklehead. You say, what is that? That's Greek for you're not that smart. And I'm not insulting your intelligence. I just want you to hear my heart. It's important. It's vital. Remember what I said? Please stay in the context. It's God's will to use you. It's God's will to use you for His honor, for His glory, for His kingdom. I quit the band Jamie and I were in. It didn't go well with his mama. And I'm dating my age, but I was scheduled to sing in that band at that Claryville Inn. And she wanted to hear one of the songs I used to sing. And I'm not glorifying it, just stay with me. I used to sing that song by Eric Clapton. Oh, preacher's talking about Eric. Yeah, I was lost once. Eric, Wonderful Tonight. Don't raise your hand. How many of you listened to it this week? Don't raise your hand. And I went to him, I said, Jamie, I got saved, but I struggled with playing music for a year. And I went to him, I said, Jamie, I know we got a big gig coming up this weekend. We're going to make at least $50. It's going to be big time. But I said, Jamie, I can't do it anymore. I got to quit. Man, he was mad. He's like, what do you mean you got to quit, man? You're not drinking. You're not in there doing those crazy things. No, you're right. But you see, Jamie, God saved me. And honestly, he will tell you this. This is what I said. I'm 17 at this time. I said, Jamie, I said, I repent of my sin. I trust in Christ as my Savior. I said, but I've also been baptized. Oh, I hope you hear this. I said, I've been baptized at the First Baptist Church of Alexandria. And everywhere that I go, I represent that local assembly. Boy, that's missed. I'm telling you, for God, that type of preaching, that's often missing in our culture. When I joined First Baptist Alexandria, I was committing not only to my Lord in obedience and following Him in baptism, but I was making a commitment to that local assembly to live a godly life by His grace. And man, he was mad. His mom was mad. She was mad. She's upset. She goes, I can't believe you're doing that. I was like, I have to. I said, I love you with all my heart. I said, but I have to. You say, well, preacher, why? I mean, you can be a Christian and go to the bar. You can be a Christian and drink. Well, I choose to be a Christian that doesn't do that. And the reason I choose, and I've had people say, well, can't you drink? Sure I can. Can't you go out and dance and do all that kind of crazy? Well, first of all, it's a sin for me to dance. I'm telling you. I have done the moonwalk on the platform. I'm not going to do it anymore. You get this much moving, it's hard to slow it down. But I choose not to. You say, preacher, why do you choose not the social drink? Let me tell you why. Because I want God to use me. I want God to use me for His honor and for His glory. And I look back over my life, and I know God's sovereign, but I look back over my life and I think to myself, where would Jamie and his mom and dad and sister be today had I continued playing and continued to look like the world that God called me out of? Where would they be? Oh, did I tell you? Before God saved Jamie, he became a bad alcoholic. Bad alcoholic and the lifestyle that goes with that. Illicit sex with all kinds of women. I'm not saying that to embarrass him. And he would, in sharing his testimony, he said that before. Thank God, God saved him and called him out of that. So you say, preacher, you can be a responsible drinker. You know what? I wish you could be in my office when I've counseled people that struggle with alcohol. Please hear me. I wish you could be in my office when I hear the stories. I heard a story. One man said to me, he says, Trey, this is what he said to me. He said, preacher, he said, I would to God I had never taken the first drink. He said, oh, preacher, that never happened to me. Yeah, you remember my story last Sunday? I used to preach against Chihuahua dogs. I used to preach against texting. Now I text. Now I have a Mexican pit bull. Right? You say, start preaching against cats. I'm not gonna tempt the Lord, right? Whew, hallelujah. I'll lose my salvation if I get a cat. Oh my goodness. God wants to use you. He wants to grow you in your faith. He wants to grow you in your walk with God. He desires to grow you in your faith, but, and I know God's sovereign, but I want you to hear my heart. He wants to grow you in your faith, but he can't do it unless you yield yourself to him. You've got to yield. You've got to yield. You've got to say, okay, Lord, it's not my will, but yours be done in my life. Lord Jesus, will you grow me? He will. He absolutely will. The word multiply, the enablement of growth. Peter uses two words in verse 2, grace and peace. We'll expose on that in just a moment. And then he says, be multiplying you through the knowledge. The word knowledge, underlined it. Matter of fact, it's used 16 or maybe 18 times in the three chapters of 2 Peter. The word multiplied suggests constant growth unto the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied in you. May it continue to grow. May it continue to grow you to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Our passion around here as a pastor, my passion before the Lord Jesus, is that God would use the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church to grow fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our passion. God wants to use you. God wants to grow you. Say, oh, preacher, I would, but man, as maybe some of the men, I would, but I'm scared if I get really too serious about this church. I'm scared God will call me a preacher. He may. You're right. He may do that. Oh, preacher, maybe it's a lady. I don't know. I could never be a preacher's wife. Listen, God may do that. But here's what I do know. If he does call you to either one of those two things, you will not be happy unless you surrender to it. Do you honestly think I got saved at 16, and that day I got saved, I just can't wait to be a preacher. Are you kidding me? I was scared to get in front of the public. When I was in Bible college, true story, when I was in Bible college, I had to take a speech class. I didn't like giving speeches. You said, why don't you like giving speeches? I hadn't mastered the King's English. I haven't mastered it yet. I'm amazed. Hear me. I'm amazed that God called me. But here's what I learned about my Lord. When I'm weak, he's strong. And his strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. Lord Jesus, I don't have all the answers. Lord, and I just, honestly, I've just tried to stay humble before my Lord and allow God to through his word to stay yielded to it. The word knowledge. Let's deal with the word knowledge here because it's important that you understand the definition. The enablement of growth. Knowledge. The word does not mean a mere intellectual understanding of some truth. Or you could say it like this. It doesn't mean a head knowledge. Though that is neat. That is included. I mean, you have to learn in your mind. You have to gain the knowledge here. It means a living participation in the truth, in the sense that our Lord used in John 17:3. In John 17:3, here's a reference. And this is life eternal, that they might know that the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The word know, knowledge, it means implying a larger, more thorough and intimate knowledge. The Christians, like precious faith, is built on knowing the truth about God. Did you hear me? It's built on knowing the truth about God. Christianity is not a mystical religion. It's not. It is based on objective, historical, revealed, rational truth from God and intended to be understood and believed. Understood and believed. So when look in the context of this, as you continue to, by definition, here's a great thought. This is amazing. The deeper and wider that knowledge of the Lord, the more grace and peace that will be multiplied. You say, preacher, I've never really grown in my faith. You said earlier that there needs to be willing participation in my spiritual journey. Absolutely, there needs to be. Well, can you give me Bible reference? Thank you for asking. Yes, I can. For time, don't turn there. I've read this passage a million times, perhaps. Maybe not that a million, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says to the Philippian church, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let me first of all tell you what that verse is not saying. That verse is not saying work for your salvation with fear and trembling. It says work out your salvation. You know the context. I've used it a million times. What's the context? What's the imagery of Philippians? What is the imagery of what Paul was saying in Philippians? It's a farming. It's an agricultural term. It is the image of a farmer who gets a piece of land. Maybe that land is covered in thistles and briars and weeds. But he wants to grow something. And Miss Kelly knows all about that. They want to grow something in that piece of land. Well, I'd be a fool, Miss Kelly, to walk out to a field that is full of weeds, full of briars, full of all kinds of rocks and stuff. I'd be silly to walk out there and take seed and scatter it all over there. That'd be foolish to do that. You say, well, preacher, why would it be foolish? Because you would not get the results that is intended. So Paul says the word God turns salvation for trimming. Here's what he's saying. Farming term. He said, in the context, well, so what does a farmer do? He discs up that land. He clears it of all the debris. He clears it of many rocks as he possibly can. And he fertilizes it. And he prepares it. He prepares it for the receiving of the seed and the plants. What's the context of our salvation? What does the farmer do? His intention is to get as much out of that piece of land that he possibly can. What is Paul saying? It ought to be the desire of every born again believer to get as much out of their salvation experience with God that they possibly can get out of it. Amen? You saw a preacher. God could never use me to win my loved ones. God could never use me to win my friends. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. You'll be surprised where God will open doors for you to share your faith if you're walking in Christ. And I'm not saying that to make you think I'm some spiritual giant. I am not. I know who I am when I look in the mirror, and it often haunts me in the context of my walk with my Lord. But God wants to grow you. So Peter, he's saying you need to increase in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The enablement of growth is that God has given us grace and peace. Grace is God's favor to the undeserving. God in his mercy does not give us what we do deserve, to which I say, thank God that he does not do that. If he gave us if God gave us what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. Did you hear me? If God gave us what we deserve, we would be eternally separated from the Lord Jesus. But grace, listen, grace gives us what we do not deserve. Grace is what it gives us salvation. It gives us an understanding that, listen, we are nothing without Christ. We're nothing without him. And because of that grace, but in the context, the result of that grace and mercy, here it is. The result of that grace and mercy, right in verse 2, is peace of God and peace with God. Tremendous truths. The peace of God and peace with God. I'm no longer alienated because of being born again. I'm no longer separated. I'm no longer under the wrath and the condemnation of God. I have peace with God. But thank God, he's at peace with me. Wow. Boy, that'll bless you. You ever thought about that one? I have peace with God. But brothers and sisters, if you're saved, he's at peace with me. Wow. I like how I said that. That's good preaching, man. God's grace and peace are multiplied toward us as we walk with him and trust his promises. Look at the last thoughts here, and we're done. According to verse 3, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When you got saved, if you're saved, when you got saved, God put everything in you needed and necessary for you to mature in your faith. If you've had a baby, if you've adopted children, we've had many in our church do that, to which it thrills me. It really does. It thrills me to see those that have adopted children. But as parents, when our kids were born, unless, as I said Wednesday night, unless there was physical reasons or what have you that would hinder that growth through physical issue, the moment at their birth, God had placed in them everything that they need for physical maturity. Remember what I said the other night? If you feed them, they grow. When they get to teenagers, the problem with them when they get to teenagers, we love being, honestly, we love our kids being teenagers. We're having a blast. It's a laugh a minute around my house. And I told Toby, he's got a little mini bike, he's been working on it. And I told my boys one day, and Brother Bruce, you'll appreciate it. I said, you know, I said, when I get, I said, I can't wait till you guys grow up and get married. They said, why, Dad? I said, well, I'll get my basement back. But then, no. They said, why? I said, well, because when you guys grow up and get married, I said, I'm going to come over to your house. I'm going to go into your garage. I'm going to grab that Craftsman tool chest, and I'm going to throw it all over your yard. Amen? You know how many times I've asked little man, hey, where's my hammer? I'll be right back. And he runs out to the yard. What's wrong with them? Building the fort, Dad. Yeah. Where's my socket set? Hang on, Dad. Runs out into the yard. It's got a little rust on, Dad, but I think it'd be all right. I'm going to kill you. That's what I feel like saying. I'm going to beat you to death. But I can't wait, man. When they grow up and get older, we're going to move in with them. Yeah. And here's what it's going to be. Where are we going on vacation? Hey, let's go on vacation. I can't wait to live in their basement and say, hey, throw me down another soft drink. Can I get another 2-liter Mountain Dew? Got to have 2-liter Mountain Dew. Drink gallon, drink milk. You don't pour it in a cup. You drink it right from the gallon, right? That's normal. They've grown. Our kids have grown. All we did was feed them. They grew. The Bible says, Peter says, that God, according to his divine power, hath given unto us, and we'll get into this next week, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He took up residence in your life. And therefore, you've got what you need. You have in you what is necessary to grow. The question is, will we yield to the changing agent of our life? Will we yield to him? Will we yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Will we say, yes, Lord? Will we say, yes, Lord? And I know sometimes people say, oh, preacher, God can do it. Listen, yeah, God, I believe in sovereign God. He can do anything he wants. Yes, he can. But I also know and believe that when you study in the scriptures, when you study Hebrews chapter 11, what did they do? They followed God by faith. They believed God. Abraham believed God, the Bible says. He believed him. He followed him. God said to Abram, Ur of the Chaldees, where he was living, hey, come, I'll make of you a great nation. All the world, all the nations will be blessed because of you. What did Abram do? He left. He followed. And God blessed him. Obedience. Was he always perfect? No. Obedience. Do you want to grow? Here's the invitation. If you're here, first of all, without Jesus as your Savior, right now I encourage you to bow your heart and head to God and ask God to forgive you of being a sinner and ask God to save you. Believe in the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord. If you'll trust Christ and you'll ask him to save you, I promise you, he'll save you. He will save you. He will warn you again. He said, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what my life is. You don't know what my past is. You don't understand all that I've done. I don't know that God could save me. It may be your statement. But let me encourage you. On the authority of the Bible, God will save you and he can save you regardless of what you have done. The reason you did those things is because you're a sinner before God. The reason I did those things before I got saved was because I was a sinner before God. It was my nature to do those things. But when God saved me, he put a new nature in me. He put the Holy Spirit of God in me. So maybe today you need to be saved. We give you the opportunity. Maybe you are saved, but you've never been baptized. Hey, we're not a perfect church, but it's a good church here at Emmanuel. It's a loving place. It's a loving congregation. And we'd be honored to have you as a member. Maybe you say, preacher, I've been saved and baptized, but I still would like to be a part of your local church. Hey, we'd love to talk to you about that. The invitation, let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. But Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart, you'll respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar to pray, just for a season of prayer in your heart and own personal life.